Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning to every one of you listening to this radio broadcast. Many families have suffered much loss these past 2 years due to the federal government's malfeasance with handling of COVID cases and denying early treatment with tried and true antiviral medications. Instead, they forced upon us an experimental mRNA monkey pus vaccine that has had very questionable trials. Medical science has been turned on its head. Profits precedes proven science. The love of money is the root of all evil. Liberal, unregenerate globalist politicians and bureaucrats lie to the American public continually in order to bring about their Antichrist one world order as prophesied by the holy prophets many millenniums ago, like Daniel in the Old Testament and John the Revelator in the New. As it is written, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." And is that not the truth? Tyrants control the White House and Congress today. President Donald Trump was and is a nationalist, protecting the sovereignty and autonomy of America, whereas this crowd that stole the election are globalists. And yes, I am a proud, patriotic, Black Robe Regiment pastor that loves our constitutional Christian republic and mourns for the past glory that proudly defines this nation. I despise these globalists who are hell-bent on bringing about the satanic, globalist, antichrist agenda. They love the ways of death. They ultimately are responsible for the death of these innocent children in that elementary school in Texas and the innocent lives lost in front of that supermarket in Buffalo, New York. These globalists, atheists, have kicked God and the Bible out of the classroom for the last 60 years. They rationalize murdering babies in the womb and even 10 to 30 days outside the womb. They rationalize not executing immediately after conviction the murderer, the rapist, and the pedophile. They rationalize not having armed police in the schools to protect the children from crazed individuals. They have allowed an epidemic of homelessness, which has exacerbated the crime problem in our cities. It is not guns that are a problem. It is lawlessness in the highest offices of government that trickle down to the populace. God is love, and He is the only source to cure these ills of our society. America is where it is today because our God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, has been banned from the classroom. Government has tried to play the Savior but has failed miserably, only to bring about these ills that permeate the earth. The following sermon is entitled Paul's Hymn of Charity. God's love is what is needed in the earth, and it can't be found in the secular anti-God educational system or the Satan-loving communist U.S. federal government who spends trillions of dollars solving nothing, only to advance greed and corruption. Love is the central theme of the Bible, but the Bible is banned from the classroom. So what is the antithesis of love? The answer is hate. And that is what dominates our shores, our classrooms, our government, our streets. No Bible, no love, no life. Therefore, murder and hate dominate our cities, small and great. It all starts at the top with the behemoth federal government and the capitulation of state government sycophant politicians that love federal subsidies and love the praises of men instead of the praises of God. Only God can truly correct this mess. And when He does, it will be a sad day for many in political office throughout the land who ignore God's stern warnings. They are fanning the flames of God's fury. Let me remind you, you deviant politicians, hell is a place of significant torment for those who have tormented the innocent here on the top side of the earth. That includes keeping the Bible out of the classroom and the murder of the unborn. You silver-tongued serpents, your day is coming. Repent now before it is eternally too late, and spend every wakening hour protecting the innocent. The scriptures say, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." There is for the deviant a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Paul's Hymn of Charity, Part 2.
Charity and achievement. Paul next passes from attainments to achievements, and he selects the two greatest sacrifices possible, property and person. And he says, Paul says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, an act that seems so identical with charity and almsgiving, selflessness, it seems like you would be selfless to give all your goods to feed the poor, yet if I display the most magnanimous sacrifice of possession possible, the giving of one's entire fortune to the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, the ultimate sacrifice of death, now not just possessions, but also person." So the ultimate sacrifice of death, giving away all that you have, person and property, and have not charity, it profiteth me. For these are achievements. Have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. For these are achievements which garner reward, yet nothing. So what did the Lord say to the rich man? What did he say to the rich young ruler? Sell all that you have and follow me. And he would have riches in heaven. But if we have not charity, it profiteth us nothing. One may exhaust property and sacrifice life in that which will bring them no profit at the judgment seat of Christ, except tears. Roman numeral 4, charity's kindness. Paul, having shown charity to be the supreme essence, the underlining principle of all conceivable life, for God has built all things on charity, now reveals two cardinal virtues of love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It is remarkable that suffering is the quality of charity put first. As if the Christian path must be a path of suffering. We learn that to be counted worthy of the kingdom in 2 Thessalonians 1:5, to be counted worthy of the kingdom. We endure suffering. And its first great victory is that in suffering, it's charity. It continues. So suffering is charity, and it continues with kindness, which is love in action. The word denotes a disposition to put oneself at the disposal of others. We're all familiar with the phrase, turn the other cheek or go the extra mile. These come from Jesus' explanation regarding kindness. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, that ye resist not evil. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. What does twain mean? Two. So go the extra mile. Charity is the ocean into which sparks of fire fall. Think of the lava from volcanoes when they flow down the mountains into the ocean, especially like Mauna Loa volcano in Hawaii, one of the most active volcanoes in the world, continuously flowing lava into down its slopes and into the ocean. The Mauna Loa volcano sits about 5 miles high. Out of the water, it sits about, I think it's 2 miles high out of water, and below the water it sits 3 miles. And it's constantly having eruptions and flowing lava pouring into the ocean. And the minute that lava hits the ocean water, it solidifies and cools that lava down very quickly. I've seen photographs of that lava flow in the water and how it differs from the lava that flows and dries on a gradual basis on the slope. So charity is the ocean into which sparks of fire fall, only to be instantly quenched, not perhaps without minutely raising the temperature of the water. Yet at once absorbed in its all-receptive kindness, charity suffereth. For the greater our love, the greater the surface we expose to heartbroken sorrow. Charity suffereth. For the greater our love, the larger the surface we expose to heartbroken sorrow. Charity can involve a Calvary experience. Charity can involve a Calvary experience. Remember, the Lord continues there in Matthew chapter 5. He says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. I believe it was, I can't forget his first name, but DeShazer was a POW in a Japanese prison camp. When he bombed Tokyo, his plane crashed and he was captured by the Japanese in World War II. And he talks about the bitterness he had for the those who had captured him, the Japanese who ran that prison camp, and how they mistreated the prisoners and just randomly killed some of the American prisoners. And he said, I hated them with such a passion. But he started learning that his hate was killing him. It was eating him up. And he remembered from Sunday school, not that he was a regular church attender, but he remembered from Sunday school reading that the Bible says, love your enemies. And gradually, he started practicing that principle and started loving his captors and loving them and treating them nicely. And in return, he was treated nicely. And somewhere along that way, he got saved. And when he was liberated from the prison camp, it's a great story, he came back to America. He went on to a Bible college, a seminary, and he came back to the Japanese people, Japan, and wrote a tract about his experience in a prison camp, and how God saved him and used him, and he's coming back to bring the gospel to the Japanese. Well, that story touched the heart of the commander who flew the planes to bomb Pearl Harbor. He was the lead pilot that took those planes over Pearl Harbor and bombed Pearl Harbor, and he was about to commit suicide because he was so distraught that the emperor gave in and basically declared peace, and he did all this for his country and for the emperor. And he was about to commit suicide, and he got a hold of that track. He went to hear DeShazer, his salvation experience, and he got saved. And the two men, mortal enemies, hated one another, went and spread the gospel to all those eastern, Far East countries, Thailand, Japan, China. They would hold evangelistic meetings together and preach the gospel. That you don't hear too often, that story, do you? That story is hidden. But I forget his, I want to say Rick DeShazer, but I'm not sure if his first name was Rick. So, remember the Lord's agony and passion at Calvary for you and I. He called it a passion. The Lord called it a passion. It was his passion to die and suffer so you and I could be saved. And so, charity. Roman numeral 5, charity's negatives. Paul then jumps to charity's negatives. Every supercharged internal combustion engine or electric motor is made with high precision dimensioning, repeated testing, and has its power governed by sophisticated electronic modulation. In comparison, Paul reveals charity as a sevenfold restrainer and regulator of our life. Charity closes seven doors, one after another, on envy, boasting, conceit, rudeness, selfishness, temper, and a critical spirit. Number one, charity envieth not. Charity does not envy a brother's success and is not jealous of his gifts. D.L. Moody had this lifelong experience when he was evangelizing. He said, the moment we begin to set up our little party or our church, then the Spirit of God seemed to leave and there is no more conversion. What he was seeing was that envying was moving in to the church and jealousy, and it zapped the spirit within the church. The Spirit of God was quenched. Human carnal nature, even among saved people, started to quench the Spirit of God. Number two, charity vaunteth not itself. It is not a show-off. It doesn't brag or boast. Okay? Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not puffed up. Number three, is not inflated with vanity or pride. The more we love others, the less we love ourselves. Like a lantern let down into a dark well, the lower we drop the lantern into our own heart, the more we learn how narrow are the walls and how black the waters. Charity, number four. Charity doeth not behave itself unseemly, does not behave unbecomingly, in an eccentric manner. She is never coarse or offensive. The very heart of courtesy is a delicate, watchful consideration of others. Breeding does it by training, whereas charity does it by instinct. So let me read that again. Charity doeth not behave itself unseemly, does not behave unbecomingly, as in eccentric manner. She is never coarse or offensive. The very heart of courtesy is a delicate, watchful consideration of others. Breeding does it by training, whereas charity does it by instinct. Number five, charity seeketh not her own, does not seek even that which is hers by right. Love always gives of herself, and therefore all her own interests are merged in the person loved. Number six, charity is not easily provoked, is never exasperated, is not hot-headed, gives way to no provocation at all. Number seven, charity thinketh no evil, does not record in a notebook the affronts it receives, but forgives them. Okay, doesn't keep track of all those who offend them. Charles Spurgeon said, love stands in the presence of a fault with a finger on her lip. Love stands in the presence of a fault with a finger on her lips. Love is the fulfilling of all law. Hence, Jesus Christ is love. Roman numeral 6. Charity and criticism. Paul discloses an exceedingly important quality of charity for these modern days. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, is not pleased when others fall, does not feel oneself better because others prove themselves worse, but rejoiceth in the truth. Criticism may be her duty, but truth is her delight. If all these objects are pearls worn upon the neck of charity, we now behold her a blazing diamond pennant. One of the loveliest sentences in the Bible, and the peak of this love story, charity beareth all things. She throws a shroud over the faults of others, suffering in silence the consequences of those faults. Charity believeth all things. Because of the possibilities of grace in every person, she is quick to impute good motives when she cannot prove them otherwise. Charity hopeth all things, for charity hopes when others without charity have ceased to hope. Let's read that again. Charity hopeth all things, for charity hopes when others without charity have ceased to hope. When the shadows are gathering over a man or a person, charity says, I hope that man or person will be proved innocent. Charity endureth all things with a brave patience that never fades away. When hurt, it bears. When depressed, it believes. When disappointed, it hopes. When persecuted, it endures. Charity never faileth.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.